So, call to order the regular meeting of the Infrastructure Committee for April 3rd. How about you like those minutes?
I like those notes, David.
They look really good minutes, okay. We'll approve the minutes.
Thank you.
Public comment, do we have any public over here today? Okay, new business, five-year pavement management plan update. That looks like a Robin and Maria thing, huh?
Daniel thing.
Oh, Daniel.
My thing today.
All right, brought the A-team, all right.
Okay, you know I like to stand up, awake.
It's always good when the presenter is awake.
Yes.
That's real important.
I cannot start my day by thinking that while I'm in air conditioning right now, my son started his boot camp, Marines boot camp yesterday. So at this time he might be very busy. Okay. Again, as you know, I'm still under probation, so all I want to say is agency in California. We're going to talk about the five-year plan. This is just basically the same thing you have in your staff report, but just a little bit more focused on the attachments. Let's start straight with the projected five-year PMP budget.
Mm-hmm.
And these... looks like a very complicated table, but in reality it gets to be very simple,
mm-hmm.
right? Let's start with this bottom, table here that has the total available regular funds for the next 5 years.
When you say available regular funds, that is Measure J?
Yeah, tax, Measure J,
okay.
Revenue impact fee, general fund.
Okay.
And balance forward from gas tax Measure J and the 20% cash flow withholding.
Okay, SB1 is in there?
Yes, it's in this row, gas tax.
Okay.
SB1 is part of gas tax.
Okay, because not all of it is gas. It's some of it's registration tax and some of it's diesel tax, so, okay.
That is correct, but it's always under that line.
Okay.
I want to be very clear that these are projections.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, as engineers, we like to give round numbers, but here we're just providing the numbers that the state is projecting for San Ramon. So just to be consistent. So you can see the refuse impact fee that was recently approved by City Council, we're expecting to start receiving $1.5 million starting next year. So this is the fiscal year. But this is the construction. So basically, you can think summer of 2019 is when we'll be spending this money, or the majority of them, right? So you have the totals, right, at the top of the table. Then the next table B, is other funds. Here, for example, last year, as we said before, we didn't receive any bids for the PMP project. So there's some balance that we're moving forward for this year's PMP project. This is what we reappropriate from mm-hmm. last year's project. Then we expect OBAC 2 money for the Acosta project
mm-hmm.
in fiscal year 2021. And this is very important because this is a change to the information we had last year.
Mm-hmm.
In February, we were informed that MTC has a rescheduled different funding for all the agencies. In fact, only two agencies are going to stay with the original schedule, and one is San Ramon for the Street Smart program. But this project has to be pushed to 2021. All the reasoning is in the staff report, but I know this is news for a lot of people. The other fund that we're talking about here is Measure J, but this is for a specific project. It's the same Measure J here, but this is for a specific project. This one is for Crow Canyon Road, the rehabilitation of Crow Canyon, that we are coordinating with the widening of Crow Canyon, so there's some changes too that we want to push this money to next year, push it forward for next year, but for a section that comes from St. George Road to the Dory Road. Originally was from Acosta to St. George. We want to push it to that other section. So if we add A plus B, it's going to give us these available funds per year, the projected available, can project.
$6-8 million, okay.
Now, deductions, we have a general fund overhead of $300,000 every year. Admin cost is around $100,000 this year. The other years we already incorporated in the available funds here we just deducted from the beginning. So we're not accounting double here. So the available funds for projects is this row here per year, right? Including this year project, or this year. Then how are we going to split or proposing to split these funds per year? Well, it's shown here. Sidewalk repairs, we usually, traditionally, have used $220,000 every 2 years. This year we bump it up because we wanted to use part of that amount to the PMP in advance to the paving construction. In fact, we are going to advance more money in the City Council meeting of April 24th. We're asking for more money to reappropriate $350,000 from this amount to here so we can build all the curb ramps ahead of time.
And that's so, because we had trouble with the contractors, don't want to do concrete curbs as well as paving? Is that
different reasons?
So we're going to split it? Did we run into that problem?
Well, you end up, at a minimum, you're going to pay the premium price that you get from the general charging the soil who does the concrete work. But generally, the concrete guys prefer to just go out and do their own stuff if they can. So it's advantageous in general if you can break that out and do it ahead of time.
Okay.
And another reason is the same as paving contractors, concrete contractors, they haven't grown. I mean, it's the same number of contractors, so in the summer, they're basically bidding for the same contracts. But now that we have secure one contractor for our city, better to keep going.
Yeah, if you were going to start a business with all the SB1 money of $5 billion, now's the time to start a paving company in California.
It's too late, I would say.
Oh, don't kid yourself.
A year before.
But well,
that's another conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. So a stopgap, we are showing it as the $400,000 we usually do, but as we discussed in the previous meeting, we want to reallocate part of that money more to the PMP. That's why we're showing less money every 2 years here, instead of $400,000, $300,000. That probably is going to even go lower than that, but that's a work in progress. Mm-hmm. For now, we want to show what we have.
With our critical point system, we should be able to reduce the stopgap. Is that part of it? Does the critical point program help us reduce stopgap, you think?
What we're able to do on that stopgap is, well, there's a couple things going on simultaneously. One is we used to see certain streets assigned to stopgap, and instead we're just moving those into the PMP to be more efficient. If we have a whole street, we'll bid it out with all the other streets.
Okay.
So that's the primary reduction. Also, we're able to shift things around a little bit with what public services staff does internally versus what we have a stopgap contractor do.
Okay.
And then this is what we have for, talking just about this year, what we have in our CIP 5560, 2018 PMP. We anticipate that we will have a balance of $275,000 plus from this year that we could either use it this year in this year's project, or as we show in this table, we just move it forward to next year, which included in this $189,000, and keep it in this available funding for next year. That all depends on the bids that we receive this year. If it's
when do we expect to receive the bids?
May 8th. So we are estimating, we're planning on bringing it to the City Council for award in May 22nd.
Did you have a pre-bid meeting and did multiple contractors show up?
That is correct, yeah. I'm going to have it on April 30th.
Oh, okay, so you haven't had it yet.
It's not out to bid yet, next week.
Okay.
So Well, we continue year by year, right? So mm-hmm. next year that we're going to have this available fund, we're going to use it for construction of the Crow Canyon Road, as we mentioned, mm-hmm. from St. George to Doherty. Mm-hmm. We'll do the PMP with this amount, and based on this amount, actually a little bit less than this amount is what the next tables that, or the next maps that we're going to show are based. Mm-hmm. 2020, what changes there is that, that's when we plan to mm-hmm. Have the design for Alcosta, start the design for Alcosta. And then 2021, they have the Alcosta Boulevard project on the construction. And then the last portion would be the section from Alcosta Boulevard to St. George to secure $1.3 million from GIPA to do that section in coordination with the winding. Any questions so far?
What is the funding that we're anticipating from the SB1 in years 2, 3, and 4? What is SB1 funding come to?
So this is the same table. We're showing this road.
Okay.
Table. So if you go to SB1, yeah.
So year 2 and beyond, it's 2.2, 2.3, 2.4, 2.5. Oh, that's pretty substantial. Combine that with 1.5 million of refuse. That's extra $4 million a year makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Now going to the street selection, four bullet points here just to follow the critical point strategy that we discussed in the last meeting. We continue to use a modified pay-by-area approach to help contain the cost. We selected low PCI and continuous streets to address those streets in work condition and with special problems. And we changed the low PCI criteria for residential streets from 35 to 30. Mm-hmm. So the first map that we see here, you have in attachment B in the staff report, is the five-year plan, all treatment by year. And we're showing even this year's project. So in yellow is what we're going to do this year. Okay. Basically the Twin Creeks area, Postoria. We're expecting to have Bollinger Canyon done.
Keep telling Danville we're going to install a toll plaza on Postoria. You got those plans done?
Not yet.
Okay.
But you can see that if you see that the map, we're basically touching every single area in San Ramon, right? Not every single street, but every single area.
Mm-hmm. Make everybody miserable at least once, huh?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. And then happy.
And then happy.
Just for the next... maps, I just want to give you the this table. You have it in the presentation here. So what we mean when we say light maintenance, heavy maintenance, light rehab, or heavy rehab, you can have it here. And you'll see that we don't have any reconstruction in San Ramon for the next 5 years. So this is the same map as before, the five-year plan, but instead of per year, we're talking per type of treatment.
Do you have something special planned for, like, was it Tangerine and that area down there in Sunny Glen?
Yes.
That bus just does a number on that street.
Yeah, that will be subject to a separate evaluation on what the treatment should be, because it could require something more akin to what we've been looking at in portions of Crow Canyon Road, where it's really bad. Of course, if something like the bus traffic were to change, then that would change how we evaluate the payment. So we need to tie the whole thing together. It's not just fixing what's there.
Tangerine and Associated Cordon and those streets just beat the heck.
Yeah.
So this is what we're going to do this year again, is Twin Creeks area. We have Postoria right in front of Costco. And then most likely we'll have a night work in this area. Then we have the Bollinger Canyon section from Alcosta to Canyon Lakes, right? This section both ways, we are bidding this section as an alternate bid. That means that if we get enough money to do it, we'll do it. If not, we can drop it and use it for a later year.
Sure.
But with the $278,000 that we have, probably we'll be able to do it, but we have to wait until it may. Then the other sections, here's the city center, mm-hmm. the future city center. You'll see these two streets. This is Sunset and this is Bishop. Right now we're on in negotiations to get that done by the project while we do this part of Bishop. Now this is 2000. This is next year, 2019.
Go back up to a second. Let's see. You had another street on there. The one right off of Montevideo. What street is that? Yeah, that one. Yeah, what's that?
I believe that's Foxborough.
Foxborough.
Oh, okay. Sure.
I believe so.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, this would be next year. We're showing here, well, this is a Dory Valley area, right? We're doing a lot of light maintenance in this area. We expect to have a very few curb ramps to upgrade, which would be a money saver there. And we're also showing the Crow Canyon section that we will be doing as a separate project. We move into a different area. There's a lot of light rehab in this area. And then at Deerwood and Old Crow Canyon Road. Mm-hmm. 2021, that's when we focus on Acosta and the Wisteria Tangerine area that you were talking about, mm-hmm. were asking about. Mm-hmm. 2022, we go back to the Dory Valley area. We did this area first, now we're doing this one, right?
Mm-hmm, and then down Pine Valley.
Okay.
Hey, you get to do Harry Street. Well, you're close. Actually, it's not far enough south. No, it is. We got you court in there.
And as a separate project, we have the Crow Canyon Road here from Acosta to St. George.
Mm-hmm.
This section that we're showing here, we're actually having the Faria development doing it.
Can you repeat? So, and I was going to ask about Faria, when you expect to start having to do preventative maintenance in this. So, it's this fiscal year?
It's this year.
Well, no, the preventative maintenance, wouldn't expect to have to do anything out there for probably 10 years. But there's a couple of streets out there.
Bollinger.
There's the Bollinger piece that's actually shown here as us doing it. Actually, the project's going to pick that up this year and take care of it. And they're also going to take care of Purdue. So there's a couple little pieces here that'll actually drop off.
I know it's an expense, but it certainly makes sense for them to. Their new residents don't have to come over a horrible road to get into their development.
Okay. And the last year of our 5-year plan, we have again a lot of light maintenance.
Bollinger Hill.
We take a summary of how the PCI would look like for San Ramon for the next 5 years and then 10 years. It's an improvement versus what we presented last time in our last presentation. So with this year's project, we will bump our PCI to 70, bump it up to 79.
Mm-hmm.
And we stay like that for 3 years.
But past 2022, 2023, you don't project any money like OBAG or Measure J grants and some of those, because those help out to the tune typically of $1 million every other year or so.
Well, yes. What happens is that there's always a grant application that we're going to go after, right? Maybe in a year from now we'll be talking about other
things. But in your projection, you don't show any money coming in.
No.
Okay. Have money coming in between now and 2022, which helps keep it up.
That is correct.
Okay.
I like to be conservative, of course, when we're doing these. And one thing that we don't show on the conservative side is what you're just talking about. Unfortunately, the other thing that we don't show is we don't show money going to green infrastructure and complete streets and things like that. And there are a couple of projects here where I could see that we have to do something. For example, on Old Crow, we were scheduled to do that this year. We put it off because there's an obvious opportunity that we can't really turn a blind eye to incorporate some green infrastructure. There's also some issues we need to evaluate on Costa, where we're right against that separation onto the frontage road, which has a potential item related to the bike master plan, but it also has a planting strip, which is right above the storm drain, and there may be both a desire and really an obligation to undertake certain activities there.
Okay. If I can ask a couple questions, and you just kind of touched on one of the things I wanted to talk about. In terms of planning this out, so I think it would be interesting to look at all the ancillary things that might be needed in terms of signalization or traffic calming devices, pedestrian that are programmed in for those when we go through the CIP, so that that work is if there's a way to integrate that in and have it more. So if it looks like you're really focusing on geographical areas and trying to do a bunch of paving in one area. So anything that would have to do with, as you're mentioning, you've got these special circumstances, yeah, or whatever it would be, so that there's coordination. And the other is, and we talked about this at the conference, so we pave a street and then a year or 18 months later, a utility company needs to do something. And so what's our zoning say in terms of moratoriums on paving? So, you know, what is our policy on that? How can we strengthen it? What should we be doing? Can we ask?
We have an unwritten policy, which nonetheless has been quite effective, where if a utility company comes in and tears up something that we've paved, typically within a 3-year horizon, then we're having them do a curb-to-curb resurfacing. Some other projects, we've had them do full lanes in asphalt to make up for the damage they've done. However, we can strengthen that, and it is on Daniel's to-do list to put that into ordinance form. Of course, there's a little bit of a double-edged sword there. We do, in order to be able to enforce all of that, ideally you put your projections out to at least the utilities to be able, right, to see, so that they can plan ahead.
Sure.
And then it starts to tie our hands a little bit in doing what we're going to do, or let them off the hook if we change our plan. But that's essentially what's in the works, is to put the moratorium ordinance into effect as an official ordinance and document.
So other than power company, water, sewer, who else tears up our roads?
Comcast.
Cable companies?
It's PG&E, Comcast, East Bay Mud is the big one. Yeah. But occasionally there's other, you know, occasionally there's sewer work and things like that.
And also properties, right?
I mean, residential.
Yeah, so it's residential. A lot of it is sanitary laterals, things like that.
And the other is trucks. So as we start to see more opportunities for infill development, again, going to this opportunity to recover costs to whatever happens, hauling, this issue of hauling these large trucks that come in and they're breaking up the pavement or whatever, do you have like a hauling ordinance or any type of language, or what's been the practices in terms of working? Like, for example, you have Faria, they're going in and out of Bollinger on that the west side, so developers going to go in and take care of that street. So do we have anything?
Well, maybe Brian can chime in here, but there is oversized vehicles things, but those are restricted to what we can do. But we could do calculations for vehicle impacts associated with the construction project itself. But I think we're somewhat constrained on our abilities to do things as opposed to something that's systemic like the refuse vehicles, where it's a lot easier to identify both
right.
the quantity of vehicles and therefore the magnitude of the impact. But we look at those kinds of things as well as other improvements they may have to do, like contributing to the green infrastructure in an area and things like that.
Well, for Rhea, we actually did collect or calculate the impact on Doherty Road, and I think it might be Pro Canyon as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, oh, when they were for their water?
For their water
hauling.
When they took the recycled water from yep. Doherty Valley and hauling on Pro Canyon site, we did collect fees for that impact on the road.
And similarly, they were conditioned to do other repairs, hence the full overlay on Purdue and the repairs on Bollinger from Crow to Freya Parkway.
Do you need anything from us on this one?
Any recommendations? Because what yeah. April 24th will take the lease of the 2019 lease of the street for the 2019 project to the City Council.
I think it's
that's a requirement of SP 1.
I think it's a good plan.
Move it forward.
I don't. This doesn't go to the council, does it?
We do need approval of the list as an SB1 requirement.
Oh, okay.
That's somewhat of a formality.
Okay, that's new.
Yeah. Thank you.
You know, I think it would be good to talk to our communications, Mr. Eric Figueroa, about putting when we get the contracts and we know what's going to be done. Put out a couple of press releases that this is the SB1 money,
yeah.
making mm-hmm. a difference, paving the streets, how many lanes, how many miles, how many square feet are we going to pave this year? You know, those kinds of things. Don't you think, Joe, would be good to put that out there?
And
put it out a couple of times. I mean, you put it out right after the contracts are let, but then put a new one out, you know, when the impacts are going to be felt. Because I know you send out notices in the immediate area, but even that, you'll find people outside the area will travel through it. And I think there's value in letting them know that, yeah, we're putting their money to work out there.
Yeah, we've talked about
$7-8 million
having additional signage, including the magnetic signs on the vehicles, and mm-hmm. Also posting additional information on the website.
Good. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. We discuss that. That's a big thing to get people educated as to what SB, you know, this is your SB1 gas tax money at work. So
right.
We asked yesterday, and one person knew what SB1 was at the Public Services Government 101. So,
yeah.
But they all knew what a gas tax was.
Sure.
So there was the correlation.
Okay.
Nice. Good. Excellent report.
Information.
I don't know about the probation, boy.
You're still on the bubble. Don't slack off now.
Boy, you're almost there.
Okay, infrastructure maintenance fund update. Jeff Galt.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Oh, you're not going to do this one?
I'll do it.
Oh, you'll do it. Okay.
My voice isn't as boisterous as Daniel's, but I will try.
She's not on probation.
I'm not on probation.
She's already cast in her tip. No.
Double secret probation.
Double secret probation.
Okay, with the general fund allocations that have been provided over the last couple of years, we've been able to address the renovations and the replacement projects that are scheduled for our replacement plans. And we've also been able to catch up with some of our deferred maintenance that had slipped from the schedule. So we've been playing catch up, and we've been doing a really great job doing that. And when we do this each year, what we do is we prioritize the projects. And the prioritization is a three-pronged approach, which is we look at priority one, which are the safety projects, regulatory requirements, general plan conformance, and then if there are any operational breakdowns that are imminent to a shutdown. And then priority two and priority three, so forth. So we go through a very systematic approach on determining which projects are going to be scheduled for a given year. In addition to that, staff actually goes out as well and looks at the condition of each of the items that are listed in the projects and determine its need for replacement. So even though it shows up in the replacement plan that it's scheduled, staff will check it and say, okay, it looks like it can be pushed out a year, or it looks fine, it's been working fine, or we need to move it up. So we adjust it, and then that becomes the capital budget and the needs for the following year. And the rest of it is for planning purposes. The infrastructure fund currently funds facilities, aquatics, and signals. And it also will fund parks, drainage, and other infrastructure as needed, depending on the funding sources. For instance, the park development fund, the drainage and creek maintenance fund. For instance, the citywide drainage infrastructure repair, Robin and Shane brought that forward to the infrastructure committee, and $346,000 was allocated for that. We also have the El Costa Senior Center landslide for $300,000. So things like that can come up that are unforeseen or that we aren't in need of funding, and we'll bring it to the finance or the infrastructure committee and council to approve that.
When's that senior center landslide going to be fixed?
We're shooting for August, September of this year.
The anticipated ending fund balance is $1.8 million. When we looked at the five-year budget that was presented to the council at the beginning of the calendar year, it showed $1.5 million per year going towards the infrastructure maintenance fund. However, as we're going through the budget process for 18-19, you see that there are budget constraints. And so looking at 18-19, we've reduced the contribution from $1.5 to $435,000. And then, so for years 2 through 5, we've kept it at $1.5 million as for planning purposes. So,
question, Joe, do you see that bumping that up at mid-year is something we could look at? I mean, we may or may not be able to restore all of it, but do you think it this coming mid-year, this is...
Yeah, there's savings in the current budget.
Yes, I mean, that's right. As we get to the end of this fiscal year, we finish the audit, and we know that, oh, we underran by $1.2 million. We can say, all right, let's put $600,000 or something in here. I'd recommend you put it on your list of things that should be looked at going forward, is how to try to restore it back up to the $1.5 million. So I recognize that we may not be able to make it at June 30th, maybe in January we can find a way to pick it up.
And with the projects finishing up in 17-18, and Jen tracks that, which is why she's here, she tracks that for public services, all the projects that we have, there potentially could be money that could be coming back to the infrastructure maintenance fund, so actual costs. So we're in the middle of doing our CIP and figuring out what our balances are. So this is the projection as of this point. So as we move through the CIP process, this number may change, and projects may give back money to the fund. But for now, the ending fund balance, or the beginning fund balance for 18-19 is $1.88 million. And if you go to attachment A1, it shows the transfer in the proposed general fund contribution of $435,000. The other revenue transfers in of the $12,000, that's from parks, is that correct?
The other revenues?
The $12,000.
$12,000, that's usually that's carpet cleaning fees. That comes from Parks and Community Services when they do rentals. We charge a carpet cleaning fee. And then also just interest to the fund is captured there as well.
So as far as the expenditures for 18-19, we estimate $837,000 for the infrastructure maintenance CIPs, the facilities and aquatics and signals. For the parks CIPs, so there's a footnote one.
Mm-hmm.
We do anticipate getting fees to be collected from the Rome development, the $1.74 million. So of the $1.74 million, this table shows $1 million of those fees being applied to our parks projects. So the parks projects in total is $1.069 million. So deducting that, that's why the infrastructure maintenance fund would need to contribute about $69,000 to be able to do all of our parks projects that we have programmed. So if we go use this methodology and way of thinking, then our total expenditures is about $906,000, which brings the projected ending fund balance to $1.4 million. And as you see, when you move out to years 2 through 5, the fund does go negative by the end of 1920, which is the following fiscal year, and it operates negative through the rest of the years. The other item I wanted to point out is that both the park CIPs and the creek drainage CIPs, creek and drainage, we anticipate getting funds in, so that's why it is funded and we'll be able to do the projects that we have scheduled. However, in years 4 and 5, there is not enough funding that is coming in, so this fund is looking to supplement that. The other thing I want to mention about those two CIP-type projects is that both of them have gone through further prioritization. So we can't follow the schedule that we would want to in a normal, you know, it's up for replacement or it's scheduled. We had to go through a further refinement because of the limited funding. So I wanted to point that out as well. The one project that is... that I wanted to call out is the Doherty Valley Tree Management Plan, which Jeff is going to talk about next. There's an estimate of about $373,000 that is needed for 1819. And so the table actually shows, I meant to pull it out, but it shows there is a placeholder of $300,000 in here. So we would need to either plug in an additional $73,000, or pull out the $300,000 if this fund isn't the one that's going to fund it, or somewhere in between.
Do you have that $300,000? Is that number consistent throughout your, the Doherty Valley Tree number? Is that a consistent number that you, I don't want to, you know, kill the plot line here, spoiler alert, but... Is it consistent in your projections of your 5, or is that just a one-time?
That's one time. Year.
So we're not even talking anything that has to do with Doherty Valley Tree and any of the numbers past.
That's correct.
Okay.
Any other questions?
So,
$1.5 million isn't enough.
No, well, one in a year, you're not getting $1.5 million.
I know.
And it should be pretty clear from all the 5 years projections finance has been doing.
Right.
And therein lies the rub.
Mm-hmm.
I don't particularly think that that's acceptable, because you start going to where you used to be. Well, we can put in $200,000. Well, we can say, well, let's look at mid-year.
Right.
And I get this, you guys really are doing a great job, but our goal should be to give you the resources that you need on all fronts, so that we're not having to do this exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we're not at that point. But that being said, one thing I've floated is, what about a benchmark for funding? For, you know, some say, look, if we know our... One thing I'd like to see, and you've done this, and this may be part of the CIP and the budget process, Maria, is you have created a spreadsheet and said, okay, here's what we know we can fund, here's the unfunded things that
mm-hmm.
we still have, and it just tells a story. I mean, if this is about revenue. This is about, we just need more revenue, right? Now, this is what it is. You can only, the SB1, the gas tax, that stuff is going to help. It'll have some, but this is going to be a challenge, or else we just go back down. So I think it's important to continue to educate us as decision makers. Hey, what are those real unfunded needs? Now we can do it exclusive of pavement management, which always seems to just stop everybody in their tracks. Previously, okay, now we don't have to deal with that anymore. It's a separate deal. This is really about facility maintenance at this point, and our asset maintenance, and we need to know where we have needs and what they really are. So continue to show that story. I would assume in the next budget thing they do that. And the other is saying, hey, is it beneficial for us to say, knowing what those needs are, what should we have a benchmark, not a hardcore, we want to fund it 3% of general fund expenditures or whatever, but maybe...
You do it in terms of the installed base of facilities. Buildings need, 3% of their value per year or 5% of their
what
value per year, those kinds of things. Parks need 2% of their value, funded, some number like that for the infrastructure
part of it.
Renewal and not just the operational maintenance, but...
Right.
But the renewal of heating systems and ventilation and roofs and playground equipment and stuff like that. But yeah, you don't do it in terms of your operating budget because everybody's going to be a little different. But I would think
Should there be some benchmarks, though?
Are there any guidelines in the maintenance world that says if your building cost, your building has a value of $20 million, then you need to have $200,000 a year set aside for ongoing carpet replacement, roof replacement, HVAC.
It's based in
it. Is that where facility dude comes in?
That's where facility dude will come in for the capital forecasting, where all of the assets are tracked based on when they were installed or originated, what their anticipated useful life is,
mm-hmm.
and what their replacement cost is going forward. So.
Mm-hmm.
So we can apply a percentage to that per year as
right.
to, if an HVAC system lasts 15 years, what percentage per year gets you there? And,
mm-hmm.
and we try to calculate that for landscape replacement too, in that, if we replace 5% of the landscape a year, that means all the landscape gets replaced every 20 years.
Right.
So we're not there yet. In actuality, we do about 2%.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of
sure.
how we look at it.
How would you feel if, so we'll go through our budget process and
mm-hmm.
do things, but after that's completed, this might be a conversation to continue with this committee
mm-hmm.
and allow staff to bring
sure.
some data to us and say, well, if we were going to look at a benchmark for infrastructure funding, here's what we would think it would be. Based on
well, that's kind needs. Of what this
and
is.
Some
isn't
of these,
it?
Yeah, and some of these big. Well, it is to the extent that it's a spreadsheet, but it almost you're making a council goal. For example, some cities have said our goal is to allocate whatever percent of our of a portion of their general fund to building maintenance, to whatever, as you were saying
right.
before. So, I mean, in every city is different, but I just
that's why I
we want to get away
give,
from
give
the
you an example
this,
Dublin. Has huge amounts of sales tax, but they don't have as many parks as we do. Okay, and so to just say a percentage of the budget doesn't apply the same to Dublin as it would to us.
Right.
And the same kind of thing to Danville. They have a much smaller budget than us, and yet they may have facility needs that necessitate a higher percentage of their budget goes to maintenance. So I don't think it's a operational budget. Based, it's how much installed infrastructure you have, and that's where facility dude and things like that. You say, well, carpet lasts 12 years. I don't know, picking up. You know, paint lasts 8 years. Roof lasts 40 years, and so you say, well, it'll cost you $2.5 million to replace that roof in 40 years. So you have to divide one by the other, and you say that's how much money you need to put away.
And that's what we do right now.
Yes, yes. And that's what.
And
that's kind of what,
do
hopefully that's what this...
And it takes all
that's
of these
all those projects are.
Plans that Janet has in front
yeah.
of her, and then
oh,
puts
yeah.
into
oh.
the numbers. Plan.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
really obnoxious chart.
So what it can show us is where we're shortfalling money at that point,
mm-hmm.
which I guess will just have to be the status, you know, the operational status quo, unless there's a better alternative to say, we'd like to have this much money.
If you want more, if we want to talk about more detail, it's a matter of taking that spreadsheet, going through it in a little more granularity than this. This is rolling everything up to
Well, I think they bring us the highest priority. Like you say, you've got a priority, a prioritization of what should go.
And that's what we do every year. We have to look at it based on the funding that we know is available and reprioritize it. So ideally, if we have something targeted for a certain year to be replaced and it hasn't broken yet, well, reality says we're going to push it out, which we don't want to do because we don't want to have to fix it in an emergency when it breaks. We try to do it up front. So, but that is the reality, is that...
You want to fix it the week before it breaks, okay?
That's right.
Just schedule it that way.
You can foresee. You know,
right?
That,
isn't that what you do?
No, I'm doing that with my fence right now. I'm like, I don't want to do it. So I'm like, I'm not paying somebody $15,000, so I'm going to take the worst sections right now. And I sawdust in my hair. And I'm like, okay, we're going to do this. So, yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I think in terms of this, this is the story. It's the only way to really deal with this. So it is the way to deal with it.
Okay, so just a couple of confirmations. The transfer in of general fund of 435, we'll use that because a lot of this will roll into our five-year CIP draft. And then for the trees, the 373, should I fold it into this or should I take it out?
Are there higher priority for that $375,000? Can it wait in Doherty Valley? Again, this is your priority. I mean, you tell us, what did you have a $375,000 worth of needs right now besides that? And you say, gosh, we better take care of that before we deal with Doherty Valley.
Well, that'll come up in when I.
Maybe we can ask. I'll ask that question again, maybe after
you finish.
Yeah,
yeah.
It depends. The 300. And 75 is contingent upon if you want to implement the proactive plan that we've identified for 18-19.
Well, I mean, let's see what you got in terms of that and see how.
Well, this timing isn't the best, obviously, because there's some unknowns out there, right? We're rolling in the budget, we're giving you the budget as presented and not even deliberated on by council,
okay,
which means your council priorities, your priorities may mean we'll be giving you a balanced operating budget with a shortfall in the infrastructure maintenance. That's how you're going to see it, because that's the budget that allows you to maintain the service levels this year or this coming year as currently is in existence. So if you want to bump more money into the infrastructure maintenance account, you got to take that out of something else, which means it'll be a service reduction. So we aren't presenting you with a budget with service reductions. We're presenting you a status quo budget, and then if the council elects to shift those priorities, then we'll move into a service reduction mode. And then also the other thing that Maria highlighted was some of this parks money is going to maintenance. And so that's got to be a...
I'd like you to make that clear to the council when you bring the budget to the council. Because when those people pay into that park development fund, I'm particularly concerned about the people that are going into that Rome development, the outpost. And then just around the corner from there was that acre development. And so they've got no new park. They paid into a park development fund, but there's no park that supports them. In that, like we've done virtually every other place in the city, has a functioning park within a quarter, third of a mile of their place. Now we've talked about a park on Old Crow Canyon next to Culligan, but this money is not going to that, as I understand it. That's
that decision has been made.
Okay.
So, however, I think the least from my perspective and my view of things, is that if you play Little League, you've probably played in every park in the city.
Right.
If you play soccer, you've probably
I'm thinking about the stroller mom that wants to have...
I understand that, but I'm talking of a deficit budget.
Yes,
that doesn't
I know.
Support that. And so there is 700 plus thousand left in that fund that could be applied towards a full development.
Yep.
But I think the reality is we have many deferred maintenance issues and soccer fields mm-hmm. that need to be redone and things like that. The support, citywide support, mm-hmm. there'll be plenty of kids that go to the Faria park up in Faria that don't live in Faria. And so we've always looked at it holistically as citywide, what the services we provide the entire community.
Some neighborhoods are more equal than others. And that when people pay into a park development fee, I think they have a right to at least expect it, whether they get it or not. They have a right to expect that their park needs will be co-equal with other park. And so we're not there yet. But this isn't the place for that discussion.
That would be a council priority.
Yes, I understand.
But in order to...
There's one place that I'm kind of rattling around the back of my mind, and that is Prop 68. That's the parks bond. Mm-hmm. And there's potential. We need to be working with our lobbyist. Should that pass in June, we need to work with our lobbyist to apply for grants that might, in effect, fund that kind of, an extra $300,000-$500,000 from them, from the parks bond, might be just the thing for that.
Yeah. A lot of that bond is population-based, or not population, a lot of that bond is has to do with underserved communities. And
I understand
there is some
as described in, by the when we went to Danville for that meeting, there were like 15 categories, 10 of which we might qualify for, and I hope we can take advantage of some of that, and maybe there's a few hundred thousand dollars there we can get that can move that park along. Okay.
It's a tough,
you're really itching for a fight with all the neighbors that are backed up against it. You really are.
I disagree that they want to fight. I think they want a result.
Well, I've walked that neighborhood, and let me tell you.
You guys we're not going to get into it right now. Whatever, it's okay.
Watch this fight. Huh?
This is why this is so difficult, because there are only so many dollars to go around, and I'll make a comment on it at the end of this. What we heard at the Public Works Conference in terms of ballot measures coming up in November that will really tie our hands.
Yep.
It's not a good environment out there right now. See that? Well, hey, you want to enlighten us, tree man?
Trees.
Tree guy.
So,
tree man.
I'm going to... What is there not going on?
To the right? The one to the right?
The one with the yellow.
The yellow. Oh, no. You don't probably...
It was a great presentation.
Better one yet. Easy to read at my level.
Okay, so I'm going to go over some background really fast. You guys know all this because you've seen it all. You've been part of it for the last 5 years. But as you recall, in November, the council adopted the negative deck and the Dorney Valley Tree Management plan. The plan recommends that we develop an annual work plan to be approved by the city council. It speaks of an initial AWP, and this initial AWP covers the remainder of the current fiscal year and next fiscal year. The first phase has already been implemented. Since we passed the plan and we resumed addressing the CRMs and citizens' requests for service related to trees, so we've been doing that for the last several months. Since the inception of the CIP in 2013, we've closed more than 375 CRMs. Includes over 700 tree removals, more than 470 replacements, more than 75 property damage claims have been settled. Currently, there's more than 100 open CRMs that we're addressing right now. And as we address them, new CRMs related to the trees out there come in every day. The second phase of the WPA is going to focus on what we talked about before when we were going through all the turf strips, and that would be selecting certain turf strip areas to remove the turf and many of the trees in some of those areas and replace them with a different variety of trees and the strips with low maintenance landscaping. And we've developed a map to show the areas that are included in the initial AWP. Implementation of this plan could result in, this is the initial plan, 550 problem trees removed, replacing those with approximately 185 new trees of different.
385.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, what did I say?
185.
Okay, I'm sorry. 385 new trees of a different variety and converting over 22,000 square feet of turf to low maintenance landscaping.
Is that 122,000 square feet?
Yes. 122,000 square feet. So the estimated cost as the plan is presented is the tree removals. The unit cost is shown there. Tree replacement, turf conversion. So the total for the AWP for 2018-19 is estimated at $893,000. We anticipate a economy of scale reduction from anywhere from 20 to 25%. We've experienced that when we schedule projects of a larger nature over a period of time, that the cost can come down considerably rather than tackling projects on a one-by-one as needed basis.
Are we going to stop doing the one-by-ones?
No, we're going to, the plan really has to address both, because okay, we're going to have the one-on-ones as they come in.
Sure.
But we're trying to identify areas that we can, that are obviously in need of some work, and we can just go in and take care of it all in one larger project. And that's where we realize a lower unit cost.
Okay.
By implementing it that way. So anticipating a 20% reduction would save us about $178,000. We're anticipating a balance in the CIP at the end of the year of $391,000. So that's the balance left over of all of the appropriations made to the fund so far. And then
these are the CRP, okay, the CRMs that you, the next line.
Yeah, so that's the CRMs
that's
there
the
would account for the CRMs that continue to come in that we haven't planned for in the AWP for this year or for next year. So looking over at the right, the total amount appropriated to date since 2013 into the CIP is 1.1 million. We've expended out of that 1.1 million 641,000. And after completing the work that we're anticipating on completing by June 30th of this year, we anticipate a balance of 391,000 left out of that 1.1, and as Maria mentioned in her report, the infrastructure maintenance fund at the end of 2017-18 is estimated to be at 1.8 million. So the current cost for the $122,000 or 122,000 square feet of turf that is proposed to be replaced. The maintenance is $35,000. The water cost about $40,000 for a total of about 75 $76,000 a year in maintenance of the strips. It's anticipated that by changing those to low maintenance landscaping would save about 50% of the cost of maintenance and watering. This is the annual work plan map. The areas in yellow are what we're working on now. And
you expect to have this done by June, is that what you're suggesting here?
Correct.
Okay.
So if you look at the inset map, the Windermere Parkway,
right.
This is a turf area that runs all the way down to Tassajara
right.
Road.
Right.
So what we're proposing to do is, that's all potable water. We're proposing on eliminating the turf at this time and just mulching it all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming back at a later date with a replanting plan. And we'll be applying enough water only to preserve the trees that are in that strip.
Is Lilac Ridge potable water or recycled water?
Both.
Okay, how about the eastern end of it? That has no houses on the north side.
The if you see the
the dots, the orange dots, right?
See the red.
The orange dots are potable.
The orange
yes.
dots here are all potable. This
okay.
orange here
yeah.
is potable.
Okay.
And the Sean, is all this potable here?
Currently, yes, until East Bay Mud fixes the problem of no water pressure.
Yeah,
basically,
so
they put in recycled water. It's a 100-foot elevation from Bollinger to Coyote Crossing Park, so they never put in a booster pump, so when we turn stations on, it doesn't work. So we didn't let them take the meter out, the potable meter, so they will be replacing or hooking the potable meter back up till they buy us a pump.
Okay.
So there is a...
The reason I suggest is because Lilac Ridge has no residents on it, and it's bottled water, and you should be able to have your way with it.
Yeah, so that's these dots, as you can see, is in the future. So that's not currently in the plan for this year or next year, but that is a plan, a future plan here, is to address all this area as well. Some of this around... Coyote Crossing Park will, as Sean mentioned, eventually it's plumbed for recycled. Once they get the pressure, some of it will have recycled, however, it won't reach all of these courts up here.
In the southeast part of this map, you've got the orange down there, but that's all recycled water. Why the big effort to work there in 1819?
Is the damage that it's doing?
Oh, it's big time damage. Huh?
Yeah, you'll see it in some of the photos
the
that we
pictures.
Look at later.
This is some
on
of the worst damage in the city?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is where some of the worst damage is in the city, where the strip is almost completely solid root mass.
Okay.
And the irrigation cannot be repaired without taking the trees out.
Okay.
So, and then you'll look at this Ivy Hill area. All of
right.
all of this is all potable water.
Right.
There's no houses along here, so
right.
we're planning on we're doing this right now is
sure.
removing this turf and replacing it all with mulch initially, and we'll see what kind of funds we have to replace it with plant material. But in the interim, it'll be the grass will be removed; it'll just be mulched. And then there's another area. Oops. There's another area down here by Millstream, and it's recycled water.
Mm-hmm.
However, the planting strips there are only 2.5 feet wide, and there's been a lot of complaints by the residents there. It's another area where the irrigation has had to be turned off because it can't repair it. And so we're going to go ahead.
Getting sidewalk heaving as well?
There is, I don't know, Sean, is there
yeah.
a lot of sidewalk heaving there?
There is. The biggest problem is it's an area that has condos. There's utilities down one whole side,
uh-huh.
and it's a joint utility.
Right.
So you'll see like three water meters in one box,
right.
and some of the boxes are sitting like this. It's Right. Okay. It's in dire need of getting done.
So that area on Watermill is planned to remove all the large trees that are in those strips, put in smaller trees and re-landscape that entire strip. So far, it seems that there's a lot of support in that neighborhood to do that project. They've been waiting a long time.
Okay.
And then the blue stuff, or the red stuff, is what we're looking at doing for 1890 beginning July 1st. It includes a lot of areas in Gale, and the Rosencrest area, and the Velvet Leaf Circle, and then some other areas that you mentioned over here in the Windermere area.
Sure.
And then you've identified for the following year, the next phase, which would be the Piccadilly area with potable water. We're trying to address as many of the potable areas first as we can, and then a lot of the other area of Gale 1. So this is a count of trees by the streets that we've identified on the map. The number of trees that we anticipate may need to come out. The square footage of turf on each one of those streets that we would replace with landscaping, whether or not it's potable or reclaimed water. And then this just shows you some of the conditions that that you know are out there. Again, there's Alamere Drive. These are recycled Aerofield, Calico. That's all recycled water. But as you can see, there's not much turf to be salvaged. And the root mass is so thick that you really can't fix it, anything. And a lot of this is actually going under the sidewalk and popping up in the yards of these residents. Velvet Leaf Circle, that's an example of the sycamores growing in Gale Ranch. That's potable water. This is just some alternative proposed trees.
Could you do me a favor when you do this thing? I like having the Latin name up there. Could you put the common name up there? I know they, Acer, those are maples and pistachios, of course, the Chinese pistachio, but some of these I don't recognize the Latin names. Include the more common name.
Okay.
When you put
we'll
these
do the, the Acer is that's the Trident maple.
Right.
The Lagostromia is a crepe myrtle, and then the
Chinese
pistache.
Okay.
And those are just three recommended trees.
Right. They're all well behaved. The root structures. If you deep water.
Yeah. They're good. They're good.
I have Chinese pistache in my yard, and it's just. It's a beautiful tree, and the roots are not a problem.
No, they're pretty good trees.
But my neighbor's redwoods are hugely destructive.
Some of the recommended ground cover that we can replace the turf with, we've got Cotania aster, Myoporum, Grevillea, Euonymus, Tracheospermum, that's the Asian jasmine, a number of different. These are just examples, there's others. This is what it would look like. These are new areas in Doherty Valley. Turf is not permitted anymore because of the WELLO, the SB 1881. Does not allow turf in narrow strips.
Shouldn't have been allowed to begin with, but yes.
It shouldn't have been allowed to begin with. And And at our persistence, the developers finally stopped putting turf in. So these are some of the newer areas. This is Cotani aster on the right and Asian jasmine. So that's what it looked like. This is work that we just did at the turf strip around Coyote Crossing Park. So this was all sycamores. And we took it out, and there's a combination of pistache trees in front of the park and trident maples with Asian jasmine. So that's what a new conversion would look like when it was first converted. Next steps, recommend funds to be appropriated for the 18-19 capital budget. We'll continue to address individual citizens' requests. We'll be providing notification to the HOAs of the affected residents. Work will be scheduled and coordinated with the city's contractors and progress according to the plan. And the plan is the management plan, not the AEWP. And then in accordance with the plan, staff will develop a new AWP each year as part of the budget development process. That's it.
So the question you have for us is to include the $374,000. That number was, should it be, back to the question we were talking about earlier, should it be included in the,
I think that's a full council kind of question answer. Well, it's money we're going to have to spend, but.
So the question is, the total for FY18-19, to implement this plan as it's been presented to you, would be $373,000. So I guess the direction we're looking for is that what we should bring forward, or yes. do you want us to bring something else forward?
Bring that number forward.
Bring this plan and that number forward.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I see. We've made a commitment to get this going on.
Yes.
Start in it. The fact that you're going to start seeing some water savings and cost savings on maintenance is going to.
Help. Every year,
we don't have to spend that money.
Well, and what we're not showing is the operational expenses that are not part of the CIP. The hundreds and thousands of dollars in irrigation repairs we're tracking our irrigation repairs now. We're up to, I don't know, 5,000 or something, 4,000 irrigation repairs just in the strips because of trees. And the cost of that is now over $700,000 in staff time and materials repairing that. And
that's just for Doherty Valley, or is that citywide?
That's just for the turf strips. That we're tracking that separately. As time is going on, at first we did see a lot of concrete damage. But it's really starting to emerge now. It's a lot of concrete damage. And the claims have been coming in. So, you know, the moral of the story is it's not going away.
Right.
And in the end, it's going to cost more in the end to do nothing. But we're trying to be conservative here and lay it out, and that's why we know that. You know, we know that we can go in and spend $1 million a year, but we can't attack it that aggressively. And so whatever number the city council thinks they want to come up with is a number we can back into, you know? And that may be how we end up having to do some of it. And then
bring this plan forward.
You know, the annexation bill, AB 2268 Reyes, if we get that,
yes.
That's $400,000 a year approximately, right. And I think they would prorate money.
Yeah.
And that ought to be, you know, it's Doherty Valley annexation, it's money that probably should be used in
Doherty
Valley, and that might be, let's cross our fingers and hope that we can get that thing done, and that would
help
maybe be funds that. Okay, we can slide in here if we can get that.
Hope is
such a good thing.
And as time goes by, another strategy that we start implementing.
It never.
Once we've tackled these areas with the potable water that aren't likely to ever be changed out to recycle, then another strategy that we can start looking at is the turf strips and the arterials that aren't adjacent to people's homes and start. Yeah. Just eliminating that turf,
yes.
Because that's a huge savings.
That's
in
what I was talking about, like the Lilac Ridge.
Yeah, the Lilac Ridge, the
Monarch,
the you know the those arterials that have all those trees and turf strips that are wider, that would be a big savings, even if you kept the trees, just to get rid of the grass. You'd start seeing the water and the mowing.
Okay. Yep.
Good stuff.
With that, I guess we'll... Any comments?
It did go to the Public Works Conference, so it was excellent. There's only so much paper. I didn't care how they break down the road. I'm done with that. But no, there's some really... You know, this Doherty Valley tree plan, the way that you went about it, they gave a presentation on how to deal with big community problems, and it was called TEARS. And I think we said it. Tears. No, not the tears you cry. Well, no, they're probably, you know,
some of that.
Think, initiate, execute, review, and shift. And basically, it's just a way to have good dialogue, even come up with all sorts of acronyms for best management practices. But the way that you guys went and figured this out is that here's how we're going to go ahead and execute this, given what was happening with the community, I think it's a good blueprint. And I think a committee like this, when you have those type of infrastructure situations that are causing angst, whatever they may be, this surely won't be the last one in the cities in the district going forward. It's a great thing to look back on, because I think this is a successful output now. Right now we're coming and saying, look, we have an executable plan that is efficient and has community acceptance out there. So I think this is it's a good case study. There were a few of them. The thing that I wanted to share was there's an initiative that's gaining steam to make it so that all attempts by local governments to raise taxes would be subject to 2/3 vote by their council and their citizens. It's led by the California Business Roundtable. And the thought was that seems to be taking the shift away from the advocacy folks on SB 1. They're more afraid of that. And if that becomes something that gets on the November ballot and 66% to pass anything, a hotel tax, whatever, we better hope that doesn't get on the ballot pass, because that's a tough deal.
Tough hill to climb.
There were some really good things out of the conference, and I think you guys execute every day some of the things. Like, all right, this is a great week, so good stuff.
I got nothing else.
Come on, you got nothing else? When do we want to meet again?
Well, let's adjourn the meeting, and then we can discuss that. All right. Is there anything on unfinished business and adjournment? Okay. Let's adjourn. Okay, now let's talk about
what's going on.